This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Welcome to The Compound, hosted by Ian Happ.
It's a grand slam for Ian Happ. What a play, Ian Happ, into the ivy.
And Dakota Meckes.
6'7", 250-pound Meckes. Swing and a miss, struck him out.
Welcome back to the Compound Podcast. This is episode 262. So 262 of the Compound Podcast, presented by Parse Rum. I love Parse. You love Parse. We did have them at the live show. We did get jerseys made. Okay. We have jerseys. Maybe next episode I'll wear my jersey because we'll be back home. They're great. If you get a bottle of Parse, you send us a tweet. We're going to figure out how to get you a jersey. That's the deal. Okay. Right, Tom? Weekly. One a week. Right, Tom? That's the deal. Tom's fired up about it. I'm fired up about it. I have the jerseys. It's going to be on me. It's not going to be on you. It's going to be on me.
Yeah, that's why I'm just smiling and nodding, because I'm not involved. I don't have the jerseys.
It's going to be a great episode. You guys have touching points. I'm going to turn it over. Who wants the first touching point?
Ian, 2 home runs tonight. One of them that would have hit you in the back hip if you didn't hit it over the fence, that you were somehow able to keep fair. And you had a home run last night, righty. And you said, my lefty swing stinks right now. And last night you had hit a ball to the warning track, lefty. So then you hit 2 homers today, lefty. And you walked. I watched in your post-game interview, you said, you know, it's always good to get some walks. So you're back. IHH's back.
Walks are big. Yeah, lefty was feeling pretty atrocious. Was feeling pretty bad. I had a good game in D.C. and hit 2 cutters in D.C. and felt like, all right, that's a little bit better. And then went to Detroit. Lefty felt like poop, and then got to DC and, you know, felt a few things, had a couple good BPs, didn't get the results yesterday. Zach Wheeler, good pitcher, but had some better at bats, and then felt like today, really good.
The swing you had yesterday, lefty, your last at bat that you flew out to the track, was a great swing. It was like a slider swing. Out and away, and you took it to the wall.
Yep, it was a great swing. That was, the bats yesterday were better.
And the righty one was a bomb.
Righty one was really good.
That's where, like, if you did a home run derby, why we say you would do it righty is because I think you have more juice. Like, when you square one up righty, I think you hit it further than if you square one up lefty.
I do hit the ball harder on average right-handed.
Yeah.
You just got to get in the air a little bit more. And yesterday I got in the air. Very nice.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about the cutter in off?
Yeah. I don't know how you kept that fair, let alone hit it over the fence.
It's one of those blackout swings where you just black out. And that happens. It happens a few times a year where you just black out. You're not really sure how you did it. But I was kind of looking for something kind of in. I really struggled against Taijuan Walker in my career. He's really eaten me up. And for whatever reason, he has a sinker that's really good. He would throw me just like hip shot after hip shot, splitter off that, kind of that like fastball and cutter up and away. And I've really struggled against him. So I was kind of looking for that. Something in, you know, was able to get the barrel to it. I was kind of looking for like a sinker that was leaking back, and then the cutter was off that line and I blacked out.
That is a good like representation of what happened.
Yeah, it was
that
it was
ball was literally like going to hit you in the back hip if you swung and missed.
What was your reaction when you saw it on the replay when you went to the iPad?
I mean, I knew what it, I kind of knew what it was going to look like. I think I'm 2 for 12 against Taiwan Walker. Maybe worse than that. Maybe more bats. But yeah, I think the reaction to it was just the swing, like the pulling the hands in and getting that tight. Like, I haven't done that in a while. It's something I've done in my career pretty decently left-handed. And so, you know, to clip that and keep it fair, and it's an easy one to kind of smother foul, and to keep it fair is very good.
You've always talked about that your swings are kind of two different. Your left swing and your right swing are different. What's it like for you? Because obviously you talked about it, like, yesterday, I actually, in the office, called your righty homer right before it. That's the second time this year I've done that. Not going to lie. I'm like 2 for 4. I think I'm predicting your homers. So pretty good. Don't want to overuse it, obviously. Don't want to, you know, jinx it. But yeah, 2 for 4, called right before you hit it. Said I had a tingling. People were laughing at me. And then you hit the homer. And I was like, turns out the tingling was real. So all you guys look like fools now. But I could tell that your right-handed swing, you just felt a lot more comfortable, more a little locked in on. How do you handle that when you're going well from one side and struggling with the other?
Yeah, it stinks. It's better than both of you struggling, but you know, I think throughout my career, it's more frequently been that I'm doing well left-handed and trying to figure it out right-handed. And so the right-handed swing has felt very good. Been in good positions, hit the ball hard.
Like yesterday when they brought in the lefty there, they brought in Schramm to obviously try to get Tucker lefty and to get you spin you around to the right side. But were you like, my thought was, oh, good, let him bat for the right side right now. I feel like he's locked in. Is that kind of your thought? You're like, good, let me get from the right side here?
Yeah. I think that's kind of been the last month or so. It's been like when I do get a chance to hit right-handed in that situation in a game, like feel more comfortable. Yeah. And I think that's just part of the switch hitting thing is that it comes and goes from both sides. But yeah, I've hit the ball really hard right-handed. I've actually done a really good job of walking and getting on base right-handed and just haven't been really hitting the ball in the air a ton. Like I've hit some really hard line drives and hit a couple doubles, but not like haven't clipped one like that. And I had a good BP and felt some things in BP right-handed too. And felt like I was going to, I feel like I'd put myself in position to do that with some good swings and some balls that I like fouled back or like just flew out on in the previous few games. And so to finally click one like that was really good. And sometimes, like for me right-handed, the at-bats are so limited. Sometimes when you click one like that, you're like, oh, okay. And then it gets a little bit easier.
Did you see Judge's home run tonight, Ian?
I was the only thing on my list tonight. Is Aaron Judge. That's the only thing on my list.
Okay. I was watching it live. I don't know why I just randomly put it on and he hit it. And I was like, oh my, like if he had a little bit more launch, it was out of the stadium. It was 118.
This might be a hot take, might not be. I don't think we're appreciating what Aaron Judge is doing enough. Like, is he the best player in baseball? Yeah. But I don't think we're appreciating enough just how good he is right now. And I saw a stat on my way back from the stadium today that, you know, this pace is not, I don't know that it's realistic for him to end up at hitting 390 plus, but right now he is a 250 OPS plus. That would be the best single season in baseball. And, you know, I'm not the guy that in June is like, oh my God, like he might hit 400 because there's a lot of baseball left, but what he's done and how consistently he's done it over the last 5, 6, or 7 years in now since 17. It's been unbelievable.
It's also, he gets a little bit of like Barry Bonds Jr. treatment. Like he gets intentionally walked a lot now where like they're literally like pitch around him. That's why it shocked me today in the ball he hit out. It was 2-0, and it was just like a 94-mile-an-hour fastball middle in, and I was like, you can't do that. You can't go here and judge that.
He's already worth 5.2 wins, and I don't even think that even includes today.
That was 24.
I mean, 44 walks. He's already got 14 intentional walks. Like, he's leading the league in every cat. It's a joke. What he's doing is...
We did a segment on pregame show the other day that asked if he was the best offensive hitter since... Barry Bonds, and I think it's like a legitimate, it's starting to get to a point where it's like kind of a legitimate question. I mean, if he has a 250 OPS plus for a season, like you go back and look since he was ejected in that game beginning of May of last year, like he's been right around a 300, like a 390, almost 400 hitter with just insane numbers. I mean, right now, the stretch that he's been on, he's always been a little bit streaky in his career. And obviously, like, put that in the context of when he's on, he's one of the best players on the planet. He's been on a hot streak that is just, you just have to wonder, maybe is this who he is right now? You know, like, it's not a streak, it's just become who he is. There hasn't been really any of those dips and valleys that he's had in the past.
I mean, when was the last Mike Trout? I'm just bringing up Trout. Mike Trout had a 3 year stretch where he had 1,000 OPS or better. Judge is currently in his fourth year of 1,000 or better. When was the last time a guy went four straight seasons with a one dot? Like,
I mean, steroid era,
probably
you'd have
pretty
to
rare.
imagine, right? Someone on that steroid era probably did it a couple times.
It's probably Bonds.
It kind of stinks that he's 33, that he was kind of a late bloomer.
I
Like, you know
mean,
what I mean? Like, he's got. You can't imagine this continues at like 37.
dude, it's a big body. It's a big body.
Yeah.
By the way, we should
Come
mention Shohei right now on pace for his third straight one dot season. So,
also a good player. It's
and also
crazy.
might pitch again. You know,
Yeah, my
he's
pitch
throwing
again.
some
I saw
bullpens and
that.
stuff. So
I saw that. It is crazy. It's crazy to have one guy in each league who is that good.
yeah.
Like in this era of baseball, where the league average OPS is like 710 to be that good. I mean, you're talking about the other eras that you're comparing these guys' numbers to. The league average OPS was closer to 800. It was 780. It was like 770, 780. Like these guys are doing it in a time in baseball where the average hitter is hitting the batting average is 220 and the average OPS is like 710. Like it's crazy.
Both in their prime, which for one of them he is right now. Who are you taking, Ian? Aaron Judge or Mike Trout?
Dude,
That's an impossible question
an
for you, huh?
impossible question for me. I'm just going to give you this run for Trout. MVP 2-2-1-2-1-4-2-1-5. I mean, pretty good.
So is your answer Mike Trout? The only thing is, I think Judge's peak season, as we've seen last year and continuing into this year, is better than like Trout's best ever season. But I do
No,
know what you
I
mean of
think
like
that's right.
Trout in like his prime, like before the injuries started hitting, like he's widely considered the best right-handed hitter in baseball ever.
Yeah. I mean, you know, this could be Judge's third MVP.
You really didn't like that question. That kind
I
of
don't like
broke
that
your brain.
question. I don't like that question at all. But yeah, I don't like it.
Because you want to lean Trout, but I think you know it might be Aaron Judge.
Mike Trout led baseball in WAR for five straight seasons.
Yeah, I think again, I'm not saying it should be Judge. I just think people forget what Mike Trout was 5 years ago, 6 years ago.
I think it's Trout, but I think it's impossible to answer until you see the end of Judge's prime. Because just as we
Yeah.
mentioned, Judge is
Yeah.
still in his prime. And it's really a question of how many more years does he do this? Because you're right, he is 33. He's not Tani. He's going to be, you'd imagine, some regression at some point. And he is a bigger guy. Those bigger guys tend to maybe, as they age, not age as well. So, you know, there was some questions when they gave him that contract and stuff. But like, you have a couple years like this, the rest of that contract doesn't matter, right? I mean, like, you have one or two more years like this, he can hit 080 the rest of his tenure and it won't really matter because he's been the best player on the planet now. And like last season, we're not even talking about, you know, you think about Trout played the outfield and played center field. Judge last year went over and played the center field, you know, like the last couple of years, gone over and played center field pretty capably when called upon. So even like the one area where Trout definitely has him is defense. Judge has contributed in a lot of ways to a Yankees team that really desperately needed him in center field at times.
Yeah, and the base rank thing. I mean, Trout was stealing
Sure. That's the one
30,
thing that, yeah, definitely Trout has him
20,
on.
49 bags the 1 year, but 20 to 30. But yeah, I think just it's a crazy argument to have. Like between the, it's not fair. Like between those two guys, you can stack them up, and it's comical. It's comical. And the 1 year in 23, Judge was hurt for like 50 games, and he still hit 37 pumps. It's like. And had a one dot. He just got hurt for a little bit. Finished 15th in the MVP, played 106 games.
It'll be great when the Yankees trade for Trout, and then we'll get to see them play together.
What a joy that would be.
Just a treat, an absolute
Oh,
treat.
I'm rooting
Oh,
for it.
going back to you, Ian, yesterday, you took a little run back at the infield. for two pitches. For two pitches back on the infield. You got one glove thrown in. You go, I don't want that one. Let me get this other one.
First glove, no good.
Yeah.
So I was in left, and our outfield coach, Quentin Berry, is like motioning to me like shallow. And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to get shallow so I can throw this guy out. There's a ball at me. You know, anything over my head doesn't really help us. A sack fly, we lose. And then he kept doing it. I'm like, what is he trying to say? And he's like, and I'm like, oh my God, they're doing the five-man infield. Oh my God, it's me. I'm the fifth guy.
You played the infield. It's got to be you.
And so I go in there. They throw me JT's glove. I couldn't even get, he's got like padding and stuff in. I couldn't even get my hand in it. So then I was like, all right, I took Birdie's glove. Now Birdie uses an old glove. Like he's had it for his whole career type of glove. Like a Jordy Mercer. The thing is floppy and falling apart.
I was took his begging glove for a ball to get hit to you. I said to everyone in the office, please hit one at IH8 right here.
So I took his glove out there. And let me tell you, it's not a comfortable feeling for me to be back in the dirt, especially playing infield in. It's really close to the hitter. And the other part of the five-man infield rule is the guy that comes in has to go on the pool. Like, you have to go on the pool side because you can't switch. So they can't just stick me at third and move one of the guys over. Like, you can't change positions mid-inning for a player anymore because of the new infield rules. So I'm the extra guy, so then I have to go on the pool side. So I'm playing between Bushy and Nico right in the fire zone there with a glove that isn't mine that I'm not very comfortable with. And I wasn't nervous in the moment. I was kind of just like in the game.
If that's true. I don't know if I believe that.
I really will tell you. I wasn't like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God.
Did you want the ball hit to you though?
Not want it hit to me.
Okay. That's all I needed to hear.
And the other thing I didn't want to do is I didn't want there to be a play where I got in front of one of the two guys that actually play the infield at a high level.
Yeah, but you also can't be so passive that like it goes between. It's a tough spot.
You can't be so passive where the ball's like at you, but you're like, do you want to get it? Like it's an infield in play. Like you got to get that guy at home where the game's over. So,
did you look at Nico and say, get anything you can, please?
No, actually, he said to me, he was like, because of where he was playing, where I was playing, he was like, if there's a chopper, like don't be afraid to go get it. I was like
okay.
I've done this before.
You don't carry an infielder's glove around with you?
Dude, I have one in my locker at Wrigley, but I haven't been taking it on the road. Some guys like using a little glove in BP and run around. Mm-hmm. I don't. I like using my outfield glove and just having a feeling for that same glove all the time. But I think I will. After that experience, I think I'm definitely going to bring mine on the road. But I think I'll jump in there and take ground balls like once a week just so I don't feel completely and totally lost.
Just that one time.
You know the last time that you played the infield was?
2021.
Yep. July 3rd, 2021 in Cincinnati. Played second base.
Oh. In Cincinnati.
Yep.
That can't be a comfortable feeling, though, coming in with the game on the line on a position not even a real position, technically, and like it's a position you haven't played in years.
Yeah, didn't love it.
Because when's the last time you even took ground balls, like spring training? Ever even? Probably not.
I haven't taken ground balls since like a true, not just like messing around, like true, like I'm going to take some fungos since 2021.
Well, what was funny is then today, Zach was texting us and he's playing left field tonight for Sugarland. And I was like, come on, Ian, give him some tips and tricks. You got three golds out there.
How'd it go?
I mean, he's got two knocks right now. I haven't like watched to see if he's had any plays, but there's no errors on the board at least. So that's a plus.
Guy loves left field.
I mean, Zach's played like center and like he plays short and second. Like you're like, dude, you'll be completely fine in left field. I think the tough part is like getting used to like the corners and like the fences and how it's going to bounce off and stuff like that. But he's like, dude, you can track a fly ball. Like go catch the fly ball.
Yeah. Just go be an athlete, man.
Yeah.
All right. There's like, if you're going to play there every day, like, yeah, there's nuance that you'll learn over the course of time. But like, if you're going out there for a day, like, just go be an athlete.
Yeah. Just go make some plays. Have fun out there, man. Oh, they had an outfield assist, and I thought for a second it was him, but it wasn't. That would have been electric.
Can you imagine?
He would have brought it up constantly if he threw a guy out at home.
I would have loved to see that video.
Yeah.
And we'll be right back. Let's get to your touching points. What do you got for us?
Well, it might be what I might say to Dakota today. You're having a really bad day. We got to talk about Nico's ejection. I mean, that's one of the craziest things to get ejected on. And I love Nico's quote to the press that he said, "Very rarely can you tell the media verbatim what you said, and I can say it to the media that I said, you're having a really bad day." I mean, that's a crazy objection. Also, Craig ejected back-to-back games. Kind of a wild stretch for you guys with ejections.
I mean, definitely wild for Counts getting tossed back to back. You don't see that often. Yeah, and I think as far as Nico's, like, I think it's tough sometimes. Sometimes when the ump is having a bad day or like knows, like, sometimes it might be better to go off and be and like get angry than like, man, you're having that probably just it probably just hit him in the wrong spot and it just.
It's also knowing, I feel like umps, like Nico's been in the league a while now, like that you know players and like you know Nico's not a guy. He didn't like show him up. He just kind of turned, looked at him, made the comment. My only thing is, I know the big leagues is different, but isn't it typically like the rule of thumb is like if you say like you or your, that's where you start to get in trouble. Like as soon as you like direct it at them. Like
Yeah,
if you say that's a ball or that's not there. They're fine with that, but as soon as you say like you miss that, then they like get their guard up a little more.
I definitely stay away from use.
Yeah.
In my rage, use don't come out a lot, but it was quick. It was quick, and I think he knew it was quick. I think it took him a long time to throw counts out, and I think it was because like, yeah, he knew he shouldn't have done that, and like, what well, you can't take it back. Like, once you're an
Yeah.
umpire, like once you do it,
You know what? You're good.
can't be like,
I
just
regret that.
kidding, just kidding.
Actually, my bad. I've rethought it. Look bad, look on me if I eject you. Stay in the game.
And
Go back out
yeah,
there.
I think the hard part for the umps is like, man, it's lonely out there. Both teams are upset. Like, you know, our team is definitely frustrated and like
That was kind of
they're
a
doing.
continuation from the day before. You guys
Yeah.
had been frustrated for, and to be fair, like you'd been on the wrong side of some bad calls in that
The
series.
day
That was
before, you and Ian won't comment on this because he's a smart man. But like you, Tucker, and I think PCA, like you guys had some strike three calls on you that I was like, that those can't happen. Like all three of them were ones like these can't happen.
You go to Pitching Ninja, you see the tweet. That's all I'm going to say. The
Yeah.
evidence is out there for people who want to go look at it. Ian doesn't have to say a word about it, but that
No,
was.
I mean that's it's just it is part of the game. Like it's part of the game, and like you know that like that's gonna happen throughout the course of the year. It's definitely frustrating, especially in a series like that. Like, it's definitely frustrating, and but it's part of the game. And like, the guys are doing their best. And I've said this over and over on this show, like, the strike zone is the best it's ever been. The umpires are the best they've ever been in the history of the game.
It's such a hard job.
And it just, yeah, it's really, really tough. And I think sometimes that's just where they're seeing the zone that day. And like the outside corner might be a couple inches bigger because that's where they're seeing the zone. And without that instant, it's like, it's hard. It's so easy to when you're watching the game on TV, you're like, when we get to go back and
Yeah.
look at it, to be like, yeah, that's clearly a ball. But like, there's times where I'm in the batter's box and like, the plate gets shifted on me and I think the pitch in a certain spot's a strike and I keep swinging at it or I think that it's a ball and it's a strike over and over. And so, without the feedback, like those guys aren't getting the same feedback that we're getting or the fans are getting. Like we're getting instant feedback to say, like, that's not in the box, it's a ball. These guys are out there by themselves for 9 innings, calling both sides, and no one's coming to them in between innings and going, like, hey man, that was here,
Well,
look at this.
the players are, but they're
The
not
players
saying it in
are.
a nice way.
Yeah. And you can't, and you like, you don't know. Like, if you're the umpire, like, yeah, sure, you have guys that you trust that. Hey, I'm going to be honest with you about the zone. I'm going to come back and tell you the next at bat if it was a ball or a strike. But like in the moment, you don't know if that guy's saw the pitch right, if it's a ball or if it's a strike. So without feedback in between innings for those guys to like for them to look at the iPad and go like, okay, here it is. I see it. I'll make the adjustment. Like it's just really hard. And hopefully that's something that changes in the next year. You know, if this ABS system comes in, ball strike challenge, whatever. I've been thinking about that a little bit. Like there's some stuff that I wouldn't challenge. That like there's just you're not going to challenge every pitch, you're not going to challenge early in the game a lot, so egregious stuff you will, but like if there is a way to give them feedback in between innings where they can go back and check, hey, there's three pitches that I want to check, or if it's in their ear and say, hey, can you tell me where that was, and somebody gives them the feedback, like maybe that'll help those guys, and it's something that I think they would be open to it because those guys want to get it right, they want to get it right, they don't want to miss calls.
It's always funny too because like I know umps will sometimes like ask the catchers like, oh, do you have that there? And like, is a catcher ever gonna say like, no, that was actually a ball? Like, yeah, hey man, like you gave it to us, but it was actually a ball.
Yeah, I don't think that's happening very often.
No. How often, like, do you, like, I feel like most conversations mid at bat, are you turning and, like, if you don't like the call, being like, hey, is that the edge?
Yeah.
It's not, like, much more than that, like, mid at bat, unless you know it's bad and you're like, hey, that's not there.
Yeah, I think most of them are, hey, do you have that on the edge? Yes. Or I think there's a little bit more there or something like that.
Do and those get to you, though, when you're like, hey, is that the edge? And you're like, I thought that was a ball off. And he goes, no, there's a little more. And you're like, no, there's not. There can't be.
Yeah. Yeah. That's where I'm like, sometimes I'll say, like, I don't think so. I think that's it. Or sometimes I'll say, like, I thought that was off. You know. And there's definitely times where there'll be a pitch, especially when I'm struggling and frustrated, where there'll be a pitch that's like borderline called a strike. And I'm like, that's not a strike. That's not a strike. Yeah. And just trying to, you know, because that it does change the at bat. And if the guy's going to go back there later in the at bat, you want to give yourself the best chance for it to be called what you think it is.
It's got to be nice too, being a guy that I feel like even umpires know, like there's guys in the league and guys on every team that like they're known for having a good eye for the strike zone. It's like, so if you're turning and saying something, it's pretty rare that I've ever seen you like turn and comment and it was actually a strike. Or like it just clipped and you're like, well.
Yeah, I try to be very diligent about going back. And if I was wrong, like saying it, like I try, if I get pissed at a strike three call and I go back and look at it and it's a strike, like I try to be really good about going back the next at bat and being like, hey, that was, you made the right call. I thought he reached across. I didn't think it was a strike, but you got it right. That's my fault. Like I like apologizing. And like, if it was just off, going back and being like, hey, that was just off. I just want to let you know, like, no big deal.
No big deal, but you missed it. Don't
yeah,
do it.
Yeah, I try, like, I don't always do that. Like, sometimes if it's, like, early in the game and it's the starter, so you know you're going to get him two more times, like, sometimes I'll go back and just say, like, hey, that one in the first was off. Just so that they know, because I know I'm going to have to face that guy for two more bats. But, yeah, generally, I always try to go back and tell them when I was wrong, being like, hey, you got that one right. Because I know they're going to look at it after the game, and they're going to be like, oh, yeah. And like if I go back up there and I'm still upset about it, like they're going to look at it at some point too. So,
do you think that umpire regretted that ejection though? Like, because that was one where it's tough. I feel like it's tough when it's like it's Nico. It's a guy that you know is not someone that's going to argue balls and strikes. It's one comment, and now you kind of look like I'll say the word clown. You look like a little bit of a joke because like.
We're positive pod. We're positive pod.
I mean, listen, it's a very hard job, and I completely understand where you're coming from. But some umpires are sometimes on a little bit of a power trip, and that felt like a little bit of a power trip. It felt like a little bit of a, hey, let me remind you who the boss is here. And that's the like when you're talking about some of the, you can't say the word you to the umpire. Like, grow up. You're an umpire. It's okay. We can say the word you to you.
They're people too.
Exactly, but they're just people. They're not infallible.
Yeah, I'm sure he regretted that one.
Did you see the play in the Orioles game where, like, they tapped it on the plate and it was foul when they picked it up and he originally called it fair, called them out, and then goes, you know what, my bad, it was actually foul? Did you see that play?
No.
So he, like, I forget if it was, it might have been Gunnar Henderson, I forget who was at the plate, but they, like, tapped it and it landed, like, just to the right of the plate when the catcher picked it up. And then they tagged him and he goes, fair, you're out. And then he goes, he looked down and there was like a clear mark in the dirt and it was definitely foul. And he goes, like, hand up, like, foul ball. And like, I don't think, like, I forget who they were playing. Might have been the Royals. They weren't like too pissed because like it was a clearly foul ball. I actually have no problem with that one of like, you know what? I jumped to it. Like, that's a quick change of like, that was actually a foul ball. Like, that's on me.
Yeah, I think as long as the guys get it right, the tough part about that play is it's not reviewable. So whatever he calls is gonna go. But so, as long as you got it right.
I'm okay with that one. It's more like if it's like a ball down the line, you can't like go fair. Actually, no, foul. Like, I was okay with that one because nothing changed. Like, there was no one on base. So it was like a real quick instant of like, no, I actually missed that. That was a foul ball. And he flew out the next pitch anyway. So
ball don't lie.
Yeah, exactly. And then what was funny is the very next batter did the exact same thing, but it was like on top of the plate, which is a fair ball. So it's a tough back-to-back sequence for the ump.
That's the worst way to get out, too.
Yeah.
I feel like you get one of those a year. You get one where you get to be like, oh, no, wait, my bad. But if you start doing that all the time, then it's going to be like, ah, well, you're undermining your own authority a little bit. If you're always like,
it's like I always imagine like someone stealing and like they give the safe signal and they go, actually, just kidding, you're out. And it's like, well, did he come off the bag? No, then you can't really do that. Like, you made your call.
I think I would do it every play. I think if I was an umpire every play, I'd be like, Salt.
Well, that's why
you can tell when the umpire's kind of getting ready to do the safe signal, and then he kind of holds it for a second, thinks about it, and then punches it. Like, he'll change. But sometimes you can tell, like, they're winding up for one call and then kind of hesitate and then think about it and make the other call, which I like seeing. That is like, hey, good job. You were ready to do one thing. You changed the other one.
The emphatic punch is something that, like on a really good infield play.
Oh, it's the best.
Bang, bang, and it's like, bah!
Will say it adds to it. Like, it literally adds to the moment.
Showmanship.
Yeah.
If I was an ump, I'd go back and look at my highlights and be like, let me see that play. Yeah.
That's what we need. We need like a highlight reel of like best out calls from umpires.
Yeah. I don't like the highlight reel of the strike three call because I think it gets umpires too excited to call strike three. But I do like the field one because it's reviewable.
And you don't want that. You don't want strike threes called on you.
No, I don't. Ball fours. I want to make ball fours cool. You want to be like, I want a highlight reel of guys going ball.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed. You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You'd have a good highlight reel.
Wanted to talk about Craig Kimbrell, one of your former teammates. Weird situation in Atlanta where obviously he came up, won Rookie of the Year, received MVP votes and Cy Young votes 3 or 4 times with that franchise, played 6 years for them, spent most of this season in Gwinnett and AAA, gets called up, makes one appearance, DFA'd. I know this is something that happens all the time now, and this is, you know, pretty common for Brooks Kreske or, you know, name a random pitcher that happens to all the time. But to do this to someone like Craig Kimbrell, who meant so much to that franchise, and to kind of treat him as if he is just a random reliever on a random Tuesday, struck me the wrong way. He didn't re-sign with. He signed a minor league contract with the Rangers today, so he's still kicking around and hanging around. But I just it's something about like calling up somebody like that. I feel like I understand how this is a business, but if you're going to call someone up like Craig Kimball, you would hope they maybe would treat him with a little bit more respect than calling him up and just immediately designating for assignment. I think there were back-to-back tweets from the Braves that were like, "Welcome back, Craig Kimbrell, first appearance with the Braves since whenever." Next tweet, DFA'd. So, tough.
That's Hall of Famer, Craig Kimbrell.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Four straight seasons.
One of the best closers ever.
Four straight seasons in Atlanta. Four straight All-Star games. Led the league in saves for four straight years. Before, I think they traded him to San Diego before he became a free agent. But that also shocked me. I was also shocked.
It was also like he didn't, like if he went out there and it's like, oh, like he couldn't get out of his one inning, like he had a clean inning, like he didn't give up a run. It's like, wait, why did you do this? Why did you call him up just to get rid of him?
9-time All-Star kick, Craig Kimbrell. His good player. Good player. Craig Kimbrell going to be a Hall of Famer. Yeah, it really surprised me, honestly.
Was he claimed by the Rangers or did he sign with the Rangers?
He elected free agency and then signed with the Rangers.
See, like, I imagine it's something where I'd have to imagine the Braves wanted to sign him back on a minor league deal. And he's probably like, no, not after what you just, I don't know. But I would imagine, like, why else would you have him there? I agree. It was weird. It's not like he's not the name guy and he doesn't have the resume of a guy that you do that to. Like, you give him a little more respect than that.
Because as you said, he had a good outing, so it's clear that it wasn't based on performance, right? That was a situation where they're like, we need a reliever for a day. We're going to call somebody up, and then we're going to DFA them. And if you're going to do that, I understand there's the appeal of, oh, we can get Craig Kimbrell back in a Braves uniform, but at what cost is that worth to then immediately DFA him? That just doesn't feel like the spot where it's like, if you're going to call him up, you need to give him probably a couple of appearances. And then if it doesn't work out, you know, I mean, he's in his late 30s now. He's had some up-and-down seasons the last few years. Like, it's understandable if he goes out there and has two mediocre outings or whatever. Like, okay. But just the callousness of it really kind of struck me.
It's also, Ian, you know, I'm sure you faced him at some point. But, like, even now when he's obviously not in his prime, but, like, he's still an uncomfortable at bat. Like, he's still a guy. You're going up there and you're like, I'm not happy to face Craig Kimbrell.
You know what's funny about Kimbrell? He changed. You know, he doesn't get a lot. I don't think he gets credit for this, but like people throw like Craig Kimbrell, like with the analytics stuff, like the reason, like he was this drop down, he's over the top, but he kind of would get super low and have that upshoot fastball. And he was one of the first guys to do that, which made it so unique. And now guys throw like that because of how effective he was. Like he's one of those guys that like a Chris Sale type of now lefties throw from the dugout all the time. Like, change the game type of dudes, which is really cool.
And he was the man. He came to Iowa when the Cubs signed him because he had to like build up. And he came and like sat in the bullpen for all six innings until he went in. It's like, dude, you can stay in the clubhouse. It's all good.
Yeah.
We know who you are. It's all right, man.
Great human.
Yeah.
Same guy every day, consistent.
I remember you talking about him as in kind of being one of your favorite teammates of that era.
Yeah, just an ultimate, like, good guy. And I think he'll admit that, like, the first 2 years in Chicago, he struggled, and he was the same dude every day. Same dude every day, didn't change, wasn't a different person. Like, he was
which
just
is
same
so
guy,
hard to do.
Team guy, which is so hard to do. And, like, pretty impressive. And then he was an all-star with us in 21 before we had to trade him. You know, that stretch
he had shoved in 21, had, like, a sub-1 in 21.
39 games, 0.49 before we traded him. And we'll be right back.
Did you see, Ian, as a 3-time Gold Glover, did you see the two plays Denzel Clark of the A's made last week?
No.
The one he made one.
Right, I'm going to send them to you in our group chat. Yeah. So.
I did.
You're
going
to have to look at these.
Was it the one in Anaheim where he crawled up the wall?
So that was the second one. The first one was at home where he was sprinting full speed into the fence and like caught it and then just like smashed his face into the fence and held on. And then like 2 days later, he robbed that one in Anaheim. Or is it still Anaheim? Yeah.
Yeah.
LA.
I just sent it to you, Ian. Take a look. I mean, the one in Sacramento I don't know how he didn't break his arm. I mean, it just looks like it looks like you're going to break your arm if you do that.
I was surprised he like got up and was like, fine.
I think he was surprised. Even like on his face.
Oh my God.
The robbery one was also just like the timing of that is, Ian, you could speak to it of like playing in the outfield of like trying to rob a homer, like just timing it up is impossible.
I mean, guy's only played 125 innings. He already has 6 defensive runs saved, and that's to go with a -2 outfield arm. So he's got 8, you know, between just like running balls down. He's worth 8 runs. Like, that's very good. For reference, the best center fielders in baseball are at 10. Pete's at 9.
That's crazy. He's at really an 8, like you said, when you take the arm.
Yeah, well, that's with arm. Everything in, he's at 6. And these guys are at 10, 10, 9. And he's played 125 innings. Everybody else has played 500 to 600.
Ian's an arm guy, so he doesn't want to take out the arm stuff.
Well, it's part of playing the outfield, part of playing the position. You can't just say, like, if he didn't have to throw. But, I mean,
you got a couple nice throws recently. How about the one yesterday, Billy?
Thanks, man. Yeah.
A former teammate, Nick Castellanos. I don't know what he was thinking. He was, like, rounding first. And I was like, the IH8 has the ball. It's just over.
Yeah, outfield assist, very cool. Like those.
Well, and this is a fluff pod, but let's get that throw today online. All right, okay, keep it going.
Hey,
sorry.
You know, it was great. I didn't really talk to Post about it, but I had one in Detroit, but then I had one where Torkelson, friend of the pod, hit one down the line, and I got to it, and I made a great throw into second, and he didn't go. And you know, Post is coaching first base now, also a friend of the pod, and I wanted to give him a little. What are we doing? So I was running by him. I was like, You got to send him.
Did you say that to him or no?
Yeah, yeah.
What did Post say back?
He didn't say. He just ran by me. He gave me a look every time he ran by me, though, for the whole series.
Of course he did.
For the whole series, I would be running by him, and he would, because I was running right past him, and he would just give me a nice look. I did get to catch up with him, which was awesome. They have a lot of Cubbies on that, just like staff, front office, team, like a lot of Cubby connection over there.
They're running a good ball club, too, right now.
Yeah.
Good team. Pitching staff, very good. Friend of the pod, Scooble, very good player.
You faced him last weekend. What did you think after? Because you hadn't faced him in a few years, right?
Hey, I haven't faced him since 23. His ability to get strike one and strike two is so impressive. I mean, he's got the most 0-2 counts in baseball. Obviously, he's punching out the world. But his ability to just coming at you, first pitch strike, every time.
Can I ask you, after a game like that, you guys had 8 hits off him. You only scored the one run, but obviously there was that great catch that made in the 8th. Like, said, I felt like after watching the game, I was like, honestly, pretty impressed with that effort. Like, I know, like, obviously you guys didn't score the runs you wanted to, but like 8 hits off Scooble and all those base runners and a couple great catches from their outfield. Like, I know you never lose a game and you're like, all right, good loss, but like kind of a good loss.
I mean, yeah, anytime it's going to be tough to score against a guy like him, but I think they played great defense. Like, I didn't think our bats were bad. Like, I thought we took good at bats against him, but I think that just speaks, they played great defense behind it, but I think that speaks to how good he is like, and he's always going to have a low pitch count because he's in the zone so much. Like, he doesn't walk anybody. I think he's at like a 5% walk rate. He doesn't walk anybody. So he's just consistently in the zone, which, you know, you're looking up. My second at bat specifically, I flew out in my second pitch of the game, and I felt like I took a good swing at it and flew to the center. And my second at bat, I looked up. We had 2 outs running him first, and he was at like, it was the third inning. He was at like 28 or 29 pitches. And I'm like,
he's got 105 strikeouts and 7 walks.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. And not even a 5% walk, right? And I'm like, well, you know, I want to make sure that I've like had this stupid idea in my head of like, let's just want to try to get his pitch count up a little bit. Like, don't make a first pitch out here. The exact pitch that I would be looking for, bang, strike one. And then he throws me, so his fastball, like in perfect spot, strike one, take it. Next pitch, change up, strike two, take it. I'm like, well, now I'm 0-2 and I'm screwed.
Now I'm in trouble.
And he threw me a fastball right at the top and he punched me out on 3 pitches. And it's like, well, what's the point of taking? That's the thing. Like, you can't just take against him because he's going to throw strikes. Like, there's some times where you could be like, even against a great pitcher, where you could be like, all right, I'm going to see the first pitch. He's going to try to throw some stuff and get me to chase because the stuff's nasty. He's not that guy. He's just, stuff's nasty, but he's coming right at you with it. He's not afraid.
You think he'd have a little more respect for you after, you know, he came on here, got the media attention from our podcast to get the Cy Young. So You'd think he'd, you know, give you a cookie.
We're a Cy Young pod, and
we are a Cy Young pod. It's kind of crazy.
He looked like a Cy Young winner, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. I'd say he's kind of on a run similar to Aaron Judge right now, but from the pitching side of, like, he's just going out there and he's not fair.
Chris Sale too. Chris Sale doing it as well. And the Braves, interesting spot they're going to be in. They're struggling a little bit. We were talking about this in the office. Is Chris Sale available? Like, and what would that price be? Because he has another year of control after this too. So you get, it's not a rental. You're getting 18 months of Chris Sale. That's going to be a high price.
So you want to be a Chicago Cub? So you want to come be a Chicago Cub? We got some people.
That was the discussion. Could the Cubs, what would the price tag for the Cubs be? It's probably a lot of prospects, but I'd be paying that right now. Check, please. Let me go pay that.
It'll be really interesting to see what the Braves do. Actually, I didn't realize it was a two-year deal.
Let's just ask him to toss in Acuna, too. You know, they might. You never know. Luka Doncic got traded. Maybe Ronald Acuna will get traded. He'll come play for the Cubbies. I don't know where he's going to play. We'll stick him, I don't know, left center field?
He's 30 ticks.
We'll just play two-man outfield, Ian. Acuna in left center, PCA in right center. We'll stick you back on the infield where you thrive.
I can just hang out.
Then you can just hang out between Nico and Bush.
You could actually probably get away with a PCA Acuna outfield. I feel like you'd actually probably be fine. Like, it would be fine.
Or a PCA Denzel Clark outfield. Let's go get that guy.
I saw someone tweet that they played each other in the minor leagues in, like, Lansing 3 years ago. Can you imagine going to Lansing in, on, like, a random Tuesday night and you see Denzel Clark and PCA just both manning center field?
Yeah. No balls were dropping.
No. That's all time.
I can't wait. The trade deadline is always fun to me, but it's also kind of just annoying because, like, there's always just all these rumors and, like, all these different teams say, like, oh, we're going to go for this. We're going to do this. We're going to go for this. And nothing really happens until, like, 18 minutes before the trade deadline hits. And I'm like, let's make some moves. Let's get them right now when you could use them for the next 80 games or however.
Listen, I'll direct this right at Dakota. Cubbies could use another starting pitcher or two. That's all I'm saying. And I would love for them to go get that right now. You know, why do we got to wait till July 31st if everyone in the world knows that the Chicago Cubs could use another starting pitcher or two right now? Let's go get one right now.
I get the point. I get the point of, like, some teams, like the Braves specifically, are a team of, like, they could get hot and they don't know if they'll be sellers. But, like, there's still other starters on teams that you know are going to sell. And it's like, let's go get a guy now and have him for the rest of the year. But it doesn't work that way. I don't know why, but in baseball that, like, rarely happens. Like, trades before, like, 2 weeks leading up to the trade deadline don't happen.
If you're going to trade in June, it's a shock. You're like, oh, it's a June surprise. Like, it doesn't really make a lot of sense.
If I see that, I'm like, what did this guy do? Like, he must be in trouble. He must have been in the doghouse with his team if they're trading him already. That's literally usually what it is. It's like, oh, he was late for a meeting, so they traded him.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth. For a healthier heart,
for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed. You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
That is...
I'm just going to stay out of the topic.
Ian, what were you wearing today when you hit those homers, huh? What was giving you that power?
You know what I was wearing? I was wearing Bruce Bolt's, brucebolt.us. I was wearing their batting gloves, okay? I was wearing Bruce Bolt batting gloves at brucebolt.us. You can go get a signature series. Ian Happ, elephant print, the white with the baby blue, the all baby blue. You can go get those, okay? But you know what else you can get? You can go to brucebolt.us, go to the golf tab, boop, golf, and you can get the new golf gloves. Tom's going to show them off. He's going with the black one today. He's going to show off the black golf glove, brucebolt.us. They have white, they have baby blue, they have pink, they have black. Go check them out. Premium Cabretta leather. They are wonderful. And I want to see you guys on the golf course. Do you know what I am fired up for, though? We're not going to do a hot take. You know what we're going to do? We're going to do U.S. Open. U.S. Open, near and dear to my heart. USGA, my dad worked for USGA. He was an agronomist. He would work this event at Oakmont.
Wait. You can't just throw a word like that out there and expect people to know what it means.
He's an agronomist. Okay?
Explain it to the people. I know what it means, but you tell everyone else.
He would go to golf courses and tell them what to do with their grass. It's the easiest way to explain it. He was a grass expert, and so he worked with golf courses, and he would go visit, and he would tell them what to do with the grass or the trees or whatever. So... he worked for the USGA, so when the events were at Oakmont, he would be on site, and he would be the lead agronomist kind of on site for the event, helping set it up. And so got to go to Oakmont in 07, be kind of behind the ropes for that one, and then the women's in 10. And just really special memories for me being there and seeing that prime Tiger losing. He was 6 over on Huckleberry, was 5 over in 07. And so US Open's always a special one for me. It's around Father's Day. It's my favorite major, and it's near and dear to my heart. But to have it at Oakmont this year, I'm fired up. My Thursday morning coffee before the night game, I'm going to be coffee in hand, I'm going to be in front of the TV, and I'm looking for some carnage. Okay, I want to see everyone over par.
It's the best. I will say I'm still Masters guy over the U.S. Open personally, but I will say the best part of the U.S. Open is seeing these guys shoot. Like, you're going to see 80s out of these guys. Go ahead.
There hasn't been an over par open since 2018 at Shinnecock. And that was Koepka 1 over, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the last one before that might have been 07.
Minus 47 in their last like 6 or 7 of the U.S. Open winners are like minus 47.
Yeah, I want to see an over par winner. I really want to see it. I think that should be the USGA's calling card. It should be like, you can't win the U.S. Open under par. Not possible. It's over par. We're going to set it up so hard. And I want it to just be the one event a year that these guys just get.
Well, that's my favorite part is, like, I want the tears. I want these guys being like, this course is, like, this is dumb how hard it is. Like, no, shut up. Like, go shoot an 80. See what it's like. It's not fun, all right? That's what I feel like every day.
Did you see Justin Thomas's tweet where he said, everybody's been talking a lot about, like, what a...
yeah.
10, 15, 18 handicapper would shoot out here. Like, why don't we do it on Monday? Just get a random 5, 10 handicapper, 15 handicapper come out and play, and let's see what the scores are. I would love to see that.
Well, what do you think? A lot of, like, the YouTube golf guys I watch all played Oakmont. Like, I want to say it was probably like in the weeks prior. I doubt it was the week of, obviously. And like, they were even like Grant Horvat, for example, shot like an 82. Like, what do you think you're shooting?
95?
No, I think you got sub 90.
If I have to play my ball into the hole,
yes,
I would be really happy if I broke 90.
Yeah, and that's what I think. You could shoot high 80s. I think it's literally like, Well, what makes it obviously impossible is it's like, all right, like you have to hit fairways because rough is death. But it's like, all right, you can't lay up because it's a 500-yard par 4, a 300-yard par 3. Like, you still have to try to hammer a driver. So it's
– and the greens are glass. I've played it. It's been a while and not in U.S. Oops. Open conditions. Oops. And the greens are glass. I remember the first time I played it – I never played it growing up. The first time I played it was when I was in the big leagues. And I was so excited. We went out. Hit a tee shot right down the middle on one. I was nervous. Hit a tee shot right down the middle on one. Hit a wedge. They were like, it's okay to be short. You don't want to be long of the screen. Mm-hmm. Hit a wedge on one to like the front edge. Was feeling great about myself. Putted it right off the back of the green. And it's a big green. Like, you can't imagine how I wanted to hit this putt 50 feet. I hit it 150 feet off the green. They're so fast.
I think it's going to be fun to watch that and just like balls in the rough that are normal rough shots. Guys are going to have to like if you're like 180, like you can't hit iron 180 out of that rough. And it's going
to
be
gouging it out to get it back in the fairway. It's going to be awesome.
Like it's this. Yeah, it is exciting times. It's very fun to watch this tournament.
I like when they get penalized in the rough. I mean, I think that's like the biggest change of golf over the last 25 years is that you can hit it in the rough and basically be fine. And guys are so strong and have such ability to hit it out of there that they can be okay. And if you hit in the rough this weekend, you're going to have to pitch out. There's going to be a lot of guys who hit into those church pews or hit into the long rough and go, my best option is 10 feet that way. And that's exciting. And as you guys said, I'm a U.S. Open guy over the Masters. I had an experience going to Wingfoot in 06 to see the U.S. Open. That's like one of my core childhood memories. Although
that was an over par open.
Yeah, another Jeff Ogilvy won. Tiger Woods did not make the weekend. Missed his first cut after 94 consecutive majors. Still not mad about it. Not mad about it still. But like that kind of experience of seeing those guys struggle is why I love golf, I think. And like if anything, like this is probably my favorite week of the year, the U.S. Open. Close.
I love watching like the people that are the best at their profession, like just be flabbergasted. Like when they putt balls and they're like, how did it do that? Like, how is this possible? That's great entertainment.
That's my favorite. I'm going to be so locked in on Thursday. And then what I'm going to do on Friday and Saturday and Sunday is I'm going to record it. I'm going to try to stay away from it. And then I'm going to watch
it. Well, you'll be able to watch it in the mornings. Well, do you have
in the mornings? But then, yeah, we have Friday, Saturday, Sunday day games. So, you know, that'll be kind of prime time viewing. And so I'll definitely watch it in the morning while I'm doing my stuff. And then I'll try to catch up on the rest after.
Don't get any pictures of Ian's iPad in the dugout on Sunday because he might have the US Open pulled up on it.
Should put on the video board.
You tell the people in the stands, like, keep me updated. Like, every time you go in the on deck, you go, hey, what's the leader at? Hey, what's Scotty at? Shouldn't even say leader. It'll be Scotty. Plus 280, also crazy. Like, he's obviously the best in the world, and he's been Tiger-esque, not quite to Tiger's level, obviously, but like plus 280 for a major tournament as a favorite is a crazy number. But he's that good.
He's so good.
It's funny that he's so good. What'd you say?
I said, I'll take the field. I think at an event like this, I as good as he is, and as you said, as close to Tiger as he's been, I will always take the field because it's such chaos and carnage that anyone, you hit one bad shot and you have a nine. Like that's insane this weekend.
It's so unpredictable of like if you get in that thick stuff, like you said, Tom, like you could put up a nine on a hole because like you're like, oh, like I can get it out of here, chunk, get it out of here. And it's like, all right, now I'm going to lay up. Next thing you know, you're putting for double bogey and you miss that because you're putting on glass.
The one thing about Scotty though is he is just so steady and he has such a even heartbeat. Like he's not going to be the guy that tries to make that shot. Like he's not going to try to be the hero. He's just going to be around coming Saturday morning and then he's just going to outlast people. That's how I feel. I think if he's driving it straight, he's going to be really tough to beat. But I do think Tom, you're right. It's just in these events, you don't know who's going to be in the top 10 because it is such a grind.
I don't know why I kind of love Xander Schauffele, just because I feel like he's a guy that places the ball in the fairway with every shot. I don't know.
Can I give you my guy?
I don't
know
why I liked him.
Morikawa's my guy.
Yeah, I like Morikawa too.
Number 3 in driving accuracy on the year. He's my guy.
That's who it needs to be at this course. It's like, all right, who hits it in the fairway almost every single time? That's who's going to have the best chance. But even then, like, all right, you're in the fairway. Like I said, you drove it 320. All right, well, you got 200 in and it's a par four.
Yeah, good luck.
And you can't land it on the green.
We'll have a recap next week. Let's get people to Sloan Screen Time. Sloan is the world's leading manufacturer of commercial plumbing systems. They're at the forefront of the green building movement. If you're in the market, if you're like, hey, I have a nice building, I need to make sure that I have the best flushers in the business, Sloan Valve. What are your screen times?
I want to give a shout out to my mom. It's her birthday when this episode comes out tomorrow. So, and it's a big one for her. So happy birthday to her. They're up in, my parents are now in Lake Placid. Pretty cool place to spend your birthday. Ooh, nice. I'm going to say all that to try to distract from the fact that my time is 8:45. It's a tough one.
I'll make you feel better here, Tom. First of all, happy birthday to Mrs. Prizman. Second of all, mine is 10:58. So don't worry.
Wow. You
know why? Well, it's because I was watching something on the TV while I had the Cubs game on my phone. So, like, I literally watched the whole Cubs game on my phone.
No, we believe it. 4 hours and 3 minutes for me. You guys could have, this would have been a good opportunity.
That's a bad day for you.
No, that's a really high one for you. Oh, that's...
And I really appreciate that you guys knew that
I'll be honest,
on my phone a little bit too much.
People have been calling for this segment to maybe end. People in the comments have been asking because, like, it's just not competitive anymore. So I'm disappointed that this was a chance for me to show that I could be competitive. And I just didn't have my game today. Sorry, audience.
Hey, it's all right, man. You'll get them next week. That's episode 262 of the Compound Podcast presented by Parsley Rum. Go to Benny's, get your parsley, send us a photo. We will see you next week.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed. What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.